Hello, and welcome back to our ongoing discussion on the callings of men and women. My name is Pastor Ben Kratz, and I serve as the pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Birmingham, Alabama, and as one of the pastoral advisors for the Wells Women's Ministry Committee. Joining me again are some of the members of the executive team of the Women's Ministry Committee. Since we're heading into our fifth week of these devotions, let's maybe not only go around the table and introduce ourselves today, maybe let's share one interesting fact about you as well.
My name is Dawn Schultz, and the interesting fact going on in my life right now is I have eight college guys staying at my house because our church is hosting soccer camp. And so I switch into this role of cooking and cleaning and cooking and cleaning and cooking and cleaning. So if I sound tired, I am.
And I'm Naomi Schmidt, and I don't have eight kids at my house right now, but I did last week when all the grandchildren were here. Again, just find great delight as they gather together. It's really fun when our grandkids are together. They're very similar in ages, and so it's something that I just really delight in. Just we play games and just really have a lot of fun together. So that's kind of the joy and fun spot in my life right now.
And I am Christy Meyer. My interesting fact is that I have a hidden talent. I have a secret talent that is theological, sort of. I can recite all of the books in the Bible in a single breath. It is a skill that has been honed over many years, and this is my secret talent. So that is my interesting
Very interesting. Might have to share that one later on.
I was
We'll
going to say,
see.
I thought I was going to be really interesting because I drove a Zamboni when I was at, growing up as one of my summer jobs. But man, I got nothing on you guys.
Yeah, Christy wins.
So this week's devotion took us back to Genesis chapter 2 and talked about how when God created Adam and Eve, he created this suitable helper for Adam. I guess what connotations come to your mind, or what connotations do you associate with the word helper?
For me, I have really only positive connotations. I think I always have loved helping people out. And then I think early on learned that azer word. And so when all of a sudden I understood what that meant for me as a helper, it just gave life and was very exciting. And so, like I said, for me, it's always been positive and it was no longer this have to or should, but I get to, and then looking for all of the opportunities. So definitely a positive thing. And I've also had the God blessed, very pleasant experience of him, God putting me in places where being a helper has been a joy, and being a helper has very easily shown meaning and giving meaning. So for me, it has had a very positive connotation in my life.
I would like to say that it has had a positive connotation in my life, and it's something that I'm working on to have a positive connotation. But you saw, I tipped my hand. I wrote this week's devotion, and you saw my connotations there, right? I enjoy helping people. I would say that that is my nature. In my role as communications coordinator at my local church, I view it as helping out the pastoral staff in things that I can do that they don't have to take things off their plate so they can take care of the aspects of ministry that only they can do. So, in essence, how can I help them get stuff done? That's how I view my role. As a professor, a lot of my job is helping my students understand what's going on, et cetera. So I have no problem with helping. And we're going to get to this a little bit in this conversation. But when I'm told, oh yeah, you were created to be a helper, then I have issues. And it's dumb. It's not a helpful reaction. I know it's a sinful reaction. I know that that's something from Satan trying to mar what is a beautiful concept and something that I like doing anyway. So that's my internal struggle. I don't mind doing it, but when I'm told that I have to, then my sinful nature kicks in, and that's when it gets hard.
I agree, Christy. I have often been there too, and it's so ridiculous. And I remember very specifically a time that I helped my husband with something, and I don't remember what it was. And he was being very thoughtful and appreciative and kind, and we got done, and he said, "You are such a good helper." And what he meant was, "I love you and I appreciate everything that you do, and that I really needed you right now, and you came through." And I could tell by the way he said it, he he meant it to be very encouraging and acknowledging of how much he appreciated me. And I can just tell you that in that moment, I had this internal click, like, is that all I am to you? And oh my goodness, it was like Dawn said, I had enjoyed it. I love helping him. I found great pleasure and fulfillment in helping him with that project. But it was when he said, you are a good helper, that I felt confined. And that it was easy for me in that situation to recognize it was my sinful nature, because my whole heart was in it. It was a great project that we were doing together. And there was no tension or, you know, negativity there until he said the word. And then I was like, you wrecked it. And I was like, no, my sinful flesh wrecked it for me. But it helps me to recognize that that's there, and that that is my sinful flesh. And that when I hear that voice and have that reaction, I have to stop and go, that's ridiculous. I do enjoy helping.
Naomi, I want to play off of one thing that you said. Confining is a word that totally just pinged for me. If I get to choose to do it myself, that's great and fantastic, and I love helping. But when it is applied to me by someone else, then it has the tendency to feel confining, and that's not helpful.
Right. Especially as a defining word, not an action word. And so when I think of it as, oh, can you help with this? I never have a problem with that. I'd love to help with that. Am I a helper? Oh, no, that's a different story. And that feels demeaning. And I think that we're going to get to that right now.
So how does this week's study of the word azer then change some of those connotations and the way you view that role of helper?
Yeah, I appreciated Christy's insights in the devotion, because I had not known much about azer, and it was not something that was really familiar to me. And so the idea that God would be a helper really settles the issue of whether or not you're inferior or what your role is, or, you know, confining, all of those things. Those kind of things have just are obliterated when you think of God being azer, that he is the helper and the one that ideally gives that the opportunity to us. I think sometimes that it is hard, because by nature in our English language, and really even in our experiences, we don't always see the helper opportunity as being a good thing. The helper, the way that we use helper now, is sometimes very, very difficult and challenging. And so it's just good to have this conversation about what other people feel like they're kind of going through right now as they understand that.
To play off of that too, a lot of this devotion came from an academic paper that I wrote for my MLC master's program. And I had such fun doing the word study. I knew a little bit about azer, but I did not realize that it was almost exclusively applied to God in the Old Testament. And really for me, the part that hit is God chose to do this for his people. He wouldn't have had to. I mean, he could do anything he wants. He's God. But he is choosing to put himself in the helper role, choosing to be an azer, choosing to give what they needed and couldn't provide for themselves. And that is a beautiful thought, that's something I can emulate as a helper, that it is something that I can assist with, that I can fulfill someone else, maybe in a way that they're not able to, or that they just need assistance with. That is a gorgeous and beautiful connotation. And it really, really helps me to remember that this is something that God applied to himself first and foremost. And then it also is applied to Eve and to women as well.
I appreciate the understanding that my utter dependence on God as my helper, the way that he provides help in so many ways, I don't even understand what he's doing or how he's done. I'm completely oblivious to how he has enabled me to be who he created me to be without me even knowing it. And so when I can apply that to the help that I can give, it also gives me the encouragement to just do that without having to explain what I've done or have someone even understand how I've helped, because I don't always fully understand or appreciate or recognize how God has helped me. And that's where I love this. It gives me definition, opens up where it would be confining for me, because I see all of the ways that God is such a helper in the lives of his people. And I also appreciate that God acted on behalf of his people who were completely undeserving. I loved how you said that God is in no way inferior to his fallen race. And, you know, there's just, he acted on their behalf. And as a helper, I can do that as well. So that's what has been a blessing to me. One thing I was thinking about, and this is a little bit off topic, but we are speaking of it from the female helper perspective. I did, as I was getting ready for this week, wondered a little bit, how does it feel to be told, it's not good for you to be alone. You need a helper. Like, I was like, oh, that would kind of bite a little bit too.
That is a perfect commercial for next week's devotion when we talk about what does it mean for not goodness happening. So thank you for that preview.
You're welcome.
I'd like to pick up on that too, though, because just again, as we're kind of closing out or working on that, this conversation about helper, what's difficult is that so often we each perceive, what does that look like? We perceive that differently because it is differently. But I think sometimes how we imagine that word and how we imagine that work, at least in my experience, is sometimes a little bit off kilter as well. And I guess I'd like to just share just this one thought that had gone through my head, that sometimes my sinful flesh hears the word helper, like I was created to be this helper. And we've talked about interdependence and all of this. And I put those two thoughts together in my head. And what I come up with is, two kids on a playground, and one's a boy and one's a girl. And the reason that the boy needs the girl is because he wants to play on the teeter-totter. And that's the interdependence. And he just needs her to do that. Or he wants to play catch, and he needs this other person to play catch with. And that picture is not biblical. What that picture makes me think is, it's always just about doing what that little boy wants to do. And the little girl might be really fantastic on the monkey bars, but she never gets to do that because she's only doing what the boy wants to do because she's his helper and she has to do that. That is the picture that my sinful nature is drawn to. It's the work of being a helper is just driven by somebody else, and you don't get to do what you want to do, and that confinement comes in. And so I so appreciate this conversation because it really breaks the negative pictures that we have in our head that our sinful nature creates for us. And Satan says, you know, great against that. And we do in so many different ways. And I think there's this positive image of the boy and the girl on the playground, and they are playing together and they recognize each other's gifts and they're looking out to play together, but they're looking to enjoy what each other does well. And I think there's, when I make that mental shift in my head, that's so helpful because I know that Satan wants me to always react and think negatively. And when I have a negative thought, I just have to flag it and go, that's not right. That's not what God planned.
So I guess, how do you end up being able to focus more on the positive aspects of that joy of being able to help and maybe quiet that second reaction, you know, that comes from our sinful nature?
For me personally, I'm still working on this. It will always be a work in progress. But for me personally, going back to Naomi's analogy of on the playground, and if it is that both of them want to play on the teeter-totter and they need help, it's a mutually beneficial arrangement. It is something that neither one of them can do on their own, but it is something that both of them are going to benefit from and get enjoyment and pleasure and joy from. That's something that really helps me when I feel inferior or restricted, to remind myself that not only am I assisting someone else and making, this is trite, but making their life better. You know what I mean. I'm also getting a benefit from it. And that's not the reason for doing it. I'm not doing it to make myself look better or to make myself happy, but that's a really beneficial added bonus. And so that helps me a lot, that this is not just for someone else. It's something that brings me joy and that I am able to use my gifts as well. That's helpful for me.
What is helpful for me is imagining, you know, God seeing his mankind, his creation, after Adam had named all of the animals, and seeing that he was alone, and Adam recognizing he was alone, and that the solution was to bring a suitable helper to him. And God had such potential, or saw such potential in his creation, that he wanted to maximize that potential. And I think, again, that when I can take focus off of me, and see the bigger picture, see the potential in the person that God has brought me to help, see the potential in the situation, from God's perspective, all of a sudden to be given that opportunity, it becomes an opportunity, and I can step into it with eyes wide open, kind of wondering, okay, what's going to happen next? That is something that helps me when the bristle is crouching at the door.
Absolutely. Because I think the question really is just to focus our thoughts on, you get to play on the playground. You know, we are a part of Christ's body, and we are together in grace with brothers and sisters, and we get to do his work. So what on earth are you shifting your focus to the negative things for, when you can be looking at the opportunities that are there? And I think that's just a fantastic way to remember how much we appreciate our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think that, to me, that's kind of the groundwork that you lay to prevent some of the thinking, the negative thinking, is that thankfulness and appreciation. When I am thankful and appreciative of what my brothers and sisters in Christ do, and I see the benefit and the blessing of the leadership that God has put in the church, it's easier for me to fight that off. And if I could plead with the brothers to help us with that, to understand that sometimes when we struggle with the word helper, our claws aren't out. It's not like we're fighting against head and helper. It's our sinful nature that makes it difficult sometimes. And help us with that. And there are some pastors that have been so tremendously helpful. I know Christy has mentioned hers as well, that take the time to hold us by the hand and say, oh man, I understand. It's okay. Let's talk about it. Let me show you. Let me help you understand in scripture and help our faith grow, rather than just saying, oh, well, you know, the world would have us think that, you know, our leaders are saying, well, that's your role. Deal with it. See you later. That's not really the message of the church either. We're here together to help each other grow into the design that God wants us to have, the design that's best for the kingdom and a blessing for us. I think you guys have said that really well.
To play off of that, and just to reinforce your thought, Naomi, it is so incredibly helpful when I can express, look, this is a struggle for me. I'm working on it, but I am not, again, not actively rebelling. I'm trying, but be patient with me. And when I get that patience and when I get that care and concern back from my pastors, from my brothers and sisters in the faith, that is amazingly huge. To recognize that just because you struggle with something does not mean you are actively rebelling against it is a hugely important attitude. Really, really beneficial.
And the encouragement, the blessing of, you know, that we are doing something well, and that acknowledgement. I think that, again, building the positives and appreciating one another, I think that goes a long way in keeping the attitudes and thoughts helpful and positive.
Christy, can you give us a picture or a bit of an idea where we're going the second half of this week with the email that's coming out in just a day or two?
So I left you on a little bit of a cliffhanger with this one. We did a lovely word study and clearly solved all the problems associated with helper. Yep. Nope. We are going to look a little bit more specifically at some of the conversation topics that we've had today. How does this role of helper play out in a sinful world? And how do we deal with this? Now that we know what the background is, how does this work when the rubber really hits the road?
Sounds good. Looking forward to that devotion. So thanks again for not only reading this week's devotion, but joining us today for our discussion. We look forward to having you join us later this week as we continue our conversation.